Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Freaking First Cut. Golly!
Welcome back to the First Cut Podcast. My name is Kyle Porter. I'm here with Greg Ducharme, Patrick McDonald. Patrick, how are we doing today?
Doing great, Coach. Really happy to join you guys at the special Thursday edition. We're drafting, so you are wearing the correct attire, and we'll be shelling out some jerseys on stage, some handshakes, some daps, some hugs, all of the above.
You know what the oldest I've felt in the last probably 5 years, Patrick, is watching the about this hat that you're making fun of me for, deservedly so. Never. I bought it from my son's flag football team, so I hope you feel good about that. I'm helping coach, but I saw Andy Reid wearing the same hat, the Chiefs version, on Sunday, and I was like, man, I'm wearing like Andy Reid style gear. That's not a great like destination that I've gotten to in life.
Well, I mean, I would just figure you're a Mike McDaniel type, you know, innovator, fast-paced offense, get the ball out in space.
Did you see him run away from the camera on Sunday?
Unbelievable. That guy is hilarious.
What was he doing? I honestly, by the way, Greg Ducharme also here. Greg, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm loving this banter, loving picturing you on the sidelines, running up and down the sidelines, covering your mouth, playing, calling in plays. It's a great picture.
Okay. One, we're actually allowed on the field, so I'm not on the sidelines.
Oh.
Two, I definitely cover up my mouth when I call plays, which is just, I feel like a professional. What? I didn't see this live, Patrick. What? I was at the gym, NBD, on like Monday, and I saw a clip of it, and I was like, what is he do? What was the context? What happened?
The camera guy was just following him, and he just went full 40-yard dash mode back to the locker room, just because. Nothing like provoked it other than the camera about to be in his face, and him playing a little joke on them.
He went full Bryson and Tim Tucker.
Yeah, honestly, that's a great point.
That's unbelievable. So I told you guys kind of before we got started, got this hat. I'm coaching my son's flag football team. I'm not the head coach. I'm sort of helping my friend out. And he was like, okay, I'm going to make you the offensive coordinator this year, which I'm like way too excited about. I'm drawing up plays. Me and my 9-year-old are drawing up plays together and talking about who to get the ball to and all this stuff. And so I'm super excited. I see these Dolphins hats, which they're the Dolphins. See these Dolphins hats at the store. I buy one for me and my friend that's coaching, and we're way too into it, obviously. The problem was, you get to the game on Saturday, and the kids are kind of overwhelmed by what's going on. There's too many different things going on, right? And I don't know that I've been that stressed since, like, finals in college. Like every play call, you're like, I don't know this is gonna work. And then you want to kind of watch, like, yeah, I want to watch my kid play, and yet I got to be thinking about the next call that I'm making. And so we get to the fourth quarter, we ended up winning, and we're up big in the fourth, and I go over to my buddy that's the head coach, and I'm like, he looks at me and he's like, it's not that easy, is it? And I was like, man, I need a cigarette. Like, I don't even smoke. This is outrageous. Do you have any tips, Craig?
For coaching, for smoking, for calming down on the sideline? Write up all your plays in advance. I don't know. Get the ball to your son. That's a good way. That's probably a good thing to do. There you go. Oh,
do not show the competitors this whatsoever.
If anybody from the Chargers is watching this, then that would be shocking.
How many points did you guys put up?
We scored 3 touchdowns, but missed 2 extra points and got a safety. So we got an unconventional 21 points.
Okay.
That's a pretty
well-rounded effort. Good team win.
Yeah, it was great.
How's the quarterback? You trust?
Well, it's my son, so yes, I do trust him.
Oh, so you don't have to worry about getting him the ball.
No, I got to worry about him. He thinks he's... So he's got a decent arm and he can throw it a little bit. He likes to throw like the 25 yard out instead of like the 7 yard stop, which is a problem. And he does this sort of like Madden video game thing where he just keeps backing up, backpedaling, throw it up, and you're like, that doesn't work if your arm's like not a 99 on Madden. That's a problem. It's so fun though. It's great. Do you coach your kids, Greg?
No, they don't listen to me. They're still a little. My oldest is 5, so he's not really in team like organized.
Okay,
where they're playing games quite yet. But I mean, we play in the backyard. But I give him a tip. He's just now starting to listen and get into things a little bit, like T-ball, like where to stand in T-ball. Very, very basic level stuff. It's not stressful at all. It's just he doesn't listen to dad. What does dad know? You know how it is.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's more fun than I thought it would be. Like I haven't been the head coach of anything, but I've helped out with baseball and football, and it's been cool. It's been like fun time with my son and his friends. And yeah, it's been good. Okay, this is not why we're having this podcast today. We're actually going to have a draft, which, like Patrick said, that's why I'm wearing my draft day hat. I don't know if I'm handing it out or accepting it or what, but we're going to draft all 24 players that are in the Ryder Cup. So 12 for the U.S., 12 for Europe. The thing that I don't know, and maybe we can bring Josh in on this, we're drafting these guys. Are we drafting them? What end are we drafting them to? Is it, and maybe you guys talked about this, but is it how many points they're going to score this year? Who we would want on our team if we had a team of 8? We're basically drafting 3 teams of 8. Like, what is our goal here as we're doing this, producer Josh?
At the end of the Ryder Cup, one of your 3 teams will win based on points.
Okay. So. That's what I was hoping. That's what I thought. And I think you, Josh, actually have a question about the Ryder Cup to determine draft order here.
Indeed. So Price is Right style can't go over. 24 players in the Ryder Cup, of course. How many total Ryder Cup points are those 24 players bringing to the Ryder Cup combined? So
like throughout their careers.
Yeah. So everyone that's played in a Ryder Cup before has 1 points of the 24 together. How many total Ryder Cup points are being brought to Rome this year?
It's a great question. So for example, I know that, I shouldn't give out numbers, but I know that Rory, I know that Rory has like 15 and a half. Like he has 12 wins and 7 ties.
He's 12, 12 and 4.
So he has 4 ties. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, right, to give
I'll
you
go
an
ahead.
Idea.
I'll go ahead. 30.
32. Total? Well, Rory's got 14 on his own.
30. Yeah, you guys didn't let me finish. 35.
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
I'm going to say 64.
I'll say 36.
Oh, come on, Greg. Come on.
No, Patrick, I was right there with you in the 30s. A lot of the guys don't have a lot of experience. Patrick
Hovland, they've never won a point.
Yeah, but you've got Rose, Spieth, JT, Cantlay, Xander.
What
Yeah, but those guys are at like 3.5 each.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's 20. There's 16 players that have
scored. Josh, we're on the edge of our seat here.
Yeah. Fleetwood, Rahm.
It's 83.5.
Wow.
Oh, I thought it was way lower.
83.5. Do you know to continue? So, do you want that to be the order, or do you want to pick where you go, Kyle? Do you just want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go. I want to go first. Yes.
Okay.
All right. Greg, you want to go second? I'll take the two spot.
Okay. So KP, Greg, Patrick, and then we'll snake draft, right? So Patrick will take twice.
Oh, wait. Okay. We're snaking. I actually don't want to go first. I want to go.
No take backs.
No, you guessed 34. You should barely be allowed to draft. I'm gonna go. I want to go third, Josh.
Okay. All right.
I'll take second.
Okay. So Patrick gets the first pick.
Okay.
This is the spot that I didn't do enough mock drafts in. Was the one hole.
Do you want to guess how many of those 83.5 points each side is responsible for?
Well, I think the U.S. only has like 25, so 48-25 Europe.
It's 43 Europe, 40.5 U.S.
Oh, okay.
But 28 of those 43 come from Rose and Rory.
Oh, I didn't even do that math right. It should have been 48-35.
Yeah. But yeah, it's pretty close, but 28 of them come from Rory and Rose. So it's a little different.
All right, okay, Patrick. With the first pick in the Ryder Cup snake draft, Patrick McDonald selects.
Well, now I was expecting to go third. I thought I played you guys like a fiddle purposely through this little question so I could get back-to-back picks around the bend. First overall, you want a high floor and a high ceiling.
I mean, you got to take one of the three Euros, right?
Well, you gotta pick what team you think's gonna. I'm gonna go with Victor.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I mean, the only question I have about him is I feel pretty confident that Rory and Rahm are going five matches. Do you feel confident that Victor's going five also?
Well, he did go five in his debut, which is encouraging. But yeah. Luke Donald even said, I forget where I read it, where he might not have anyone go all five. That was something he's heavily contemplating. They have extra caddies in case the caddies get tired. They have, I swear to God,
barely a brutal walk.
I believe you. I think that's an easy thing to say on September like 17th. And then when you're staring at Bob McIntyre and John Rahm on September 29th, it's a little bit harder to follow through on.
Oh, I totally agree. You know, whether these guys will sit someone like a Rahm, a bigger guy who the walk might be a little tougher for if he's just rolling 3-0-0, do you sit him Saturday afternoon? Absolutely not.
That's malpractice.
Yeah, absolutely not. So
they sat. I was going back through 2021, Patrick. They sat Sergio after the first session, and Sergio and Rahm were just destroying worlds. Like they were just awesome, and they sat Sergio. It was unconscionable.
So I think Victor will go five. I'm really interested to see what they do with those top three if they pair two of them together at all, or
do you think they will
separated. I don't know. I mean, I could see Rahm with Hovland maybe. But I don't know if they want to separate them or kind of guarantee and lock in a point with two of the heavy hitters.
I think they got to front load. I think they really got to put their best players together. They got to try to guarantee points. And if they get to Saturday afternoon and they're gassed, you start mixing in some other players. I think they could run into trouble if they start spreading guys out. Now pairings don't mesh. All of a sudden, you could be in trouble. So yeah, I think you got to try to get the most out of your best players.
I think, you know what I think they're going to do? I have no idea, but Ludvig and Rory feels like it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Which is it seems problematic. Like, seems like it could be an issue for the U.S.
It's just 330 down the middle in the face over and over and over again.
Yeah. Like, Brian Harman and Wyndham Clark going up against that. It's like, I don't, we'll see. Okay. Greg, right. Second pick.
I'm up second. Despite all that conversation, I'll go with Scottie Scheffler.
Oh,
I like it.
Yeah. I think the U.S. is going to win this Ryder Cup. I think it's going to be really close. So I still think the Europeans are in play here. But Scottie Scheffler is the most reliable ball striker we have in the game. I think a lot of the issues the U.S. has had in the past has come from driving accuracy. And Scottie is a blend of what the Americans have done with distance and also with what the Europeans have done with accuracy. He has them both. And I think that kind of ball striking prowess gets him on the field a lot, and maybe not five matches, but that might do well for him in come singles time. So I think Scottie is going to come out ready to go, and I can't leave him on the board any longer.
Okay. I've got two picks here, and I think this is an interesting decision because there's probably some wisdom in taking either Cantlay and Xander right here, but that's not very fun. Like I don't look forward to that. The thing about, like, I'm going to go ahead and take Rory and Rahm as my two picks. The thing about those two guys that is a little bit, I don't know how to they're going to have rips, right? They're going to probably play 9 or 10 combined matches. The interesting thing is they weren't very good in Paris, right? Rory was, I know Rahm beat Tiger, but Rory was not that good. And, you know, I think the thing that they're sort of, that the Europeans are running into now is everybody's like the PGA Tour is so homogenous that it kind of takes like one straightforward skill set to compete at all these different courses. And this presumed European advantage where it's like, oh, well, they're just going to set the courses up, you know, to favor the Euros. And it's like, I don't know, man, like all the Euros play on the PGA Tour. Like everybody's kind of got the same skill set. And I don't know that it, and I don't know how they're going to set the course up, but I don't know that it really benefits them to set it up in a European style, because I think it neutralizes their two of their best guys.
I totally agree. I mean, this isn't the era of Ian Poulter anymore where he's bunting it out there 275 and just making a crap load of putts. These guys are bomb and gouging it every single week, just like Wyndham Clark or some of the Americans. So I think it's really interesting and a good talking point ahead of the Ryder Cup, how the skill sets between the Europeans and the Americans, I think Jamie Kennedy has been tweeting about it a lot. They're mm-hmm. They're pretty freaking similar.
Yeah, I think they are. I mean, traditionally, Rahm has been a little more accurate off the tee, even though he's long. Hovland's extremely accurate. You know, Fleetwood is very reliable off the tee, especially with a mini driver. But I think also the Americans have come this year with guys who are accurate too, with Scheffler and Harmon and Homa and Morikawa. You know, these guys are really straight. And so it seems to be, whether it's bomb and gouge or not, it seems to be more balanced skill set wise.
Yeah. And I think one thing on that real quick, Greg, and then you can make your second pick is, I think what you're saying is right. The skill sets are like, if you just looked blindly at each team's skill sets and didn't look at the names, you'd be like, they're pretty similar. I think what's going to be interesting is the Euros are always really good at being patient, and kind of taking what the course gives them. This was basically the story of Paris, because you could make this argument for Paris that the skill sets were similar, but they were so patient. They didn't try to do too much. And the Americans just have traditionally gotten so, especially on the road, so like worked up and antsy and all these different things that they just make really bad decisions and do really dumb stuff a lot of times. And I think that's one thing to watch out for as this event unfolds as well. Okay, Greg, second round pick, who you got?
Okay, I'm going to go back to the American side. I hope they win. I'm going to go with Xander Schauffele. I look at what Xander has done, you know, this year, towards the end of this year, and it hasn't led to any wins. The Tour Championship was a phenomenal performance, but he is so reliable tee to green. But he's also, I think, one of the best putters on the U.S. team, yeah. And he's been putting really well this year. I mean, he's gained strokes putting in every event since the Wells Fargo. You know, it's been really consistent, really reliable. He's got a great partner in Patrick Cantlay, and ultimately my choice was between these two players, Cantlay and Schauffele. And the question is, well, you know, who's going to win in singles? And it's hard to find a difference between the two, but I give a slight edge to Xander because of his putting.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, him and Cantlay are probably the next two on my board for just – they work well together. They're playing good golf. It's weird that they haven't won, which I don't put a ton of stock in, just because of the way they've played at team events in the past. But yeah, I think it's a good pick. Patrick, you got two picks coming up.
Yeah, I am in the same boat as Greg, where I do believe the U.S. will win this Ryder Cup, but actually not a but. I'm going to go with the other side of that equation with Patrick Cantlay for my second round pick. I actually like him a little bit more than Xander. You'll hear this term a lot. It hasn't really been thrown out there before, but I think he has the dog in him.
You think Patrick Cantlay has the dog in him?
A little more than Xander. Like I said, Xander's got wet socks a lot, and Cantlay just seems to get a little more when he's in it, as opposed to Xander, which we saw with that fantastic draw in Sunday singles in 2021, which put him 0.5 ahead of Xander by week's end. So I like Cantlay a lot, but my next pick is who I think will be the MVP of this Ryder Cup, and it's going to be Max Homa.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I have very high expectations for Homa. When you think about the Ryder Cup, people always discuss a launch pad for these guys' careers. People are saying it could happen for Ludwig. It happened to Scotty Scheffler. We saw it work with Jordan Spieth in the past. I think, honestly, this Ryder Cup could serve as that for Max Homa off that top 10 at the Open. He's been playing great golf, and he gets more and more confident each and every season, where a strong performance where – you know, he goes 3-0 or something like that, 3-1-1, something along those lines after a great President's Cup debut, could really serve him well going into 2024.
Patrick, how would you – I like the Homa pick. It might be maybe a little early, but I respect putting yourself out there. How would you explain Xander and Cantlay's differing major championship records?
Xander gets himself in the mix only to get hurt, and Cantlay kind of crawls up there during the weekend, and they kind of finish in the same position. At least that's what it's felt like the past couple years. I don't know. Cantlay just doesn't get himself in the mix at all, which, to Xander's credit, you have to applaud him for going out there. You think about, what was it, the 21 Masters with Hideki?
Yep.
18 mm-hmm. Carnoustie with the baby on the 71st hole. I mean, this year at LACC, the bunker on the 37th hole, the first weekend.
That was tough.
So you have to applaud him for getting up, dusting himself off, and getting himself into contention. As for Cantlay, it's like, what the hell are we doing, man? You're way too talented to not even, like, not sniff weekend contention at a major championship. So it's unexplainable, really.
But you're not. That's working against your case for Cantlay having the dog in him.
Well, he just hasn't unleashed the dog. He hasn't given himself the opportunity to let the dog off the leash. That you know.
Let the dog eat, right?
One time, he's never lost in Sunday singles in his Ryder Cup career.
Zane, you know, it is interesting because I'm not sure if it's this close, but let's just say hypothetically they finish in the same positions. You know, Cantlay leaves feeling good because he got him, you know, he finished strong, and Xander leaves feeling hurt because he ended poorly. It's kind of you leave in totally different positions. And I'm not sure which is better. I mean, because Cantlay hasn't been able to start in any of these, but when it comes to Ryder Cup and team events, he seems to bring a different level of ice.
Yeah.
My turn again.
Okay. Greg, you're up. Third round pick. So far you've got Scottie Scheffler and Xander Schauffele on your squad.
Yep. I'm going back to the American side. And this is also maybe a little bit early. Maybe. But I think he could be the MVP of this Ryder Cup. Almost was in the last Ryder Cup, and it's Colin Morikawa. I have a slight edge on Morikawa over Homa. I think his ball striking's been a little bit better. Homa showed me a lot in his ability to still score and finish strong without his best tee to green play. But Colin Morikawa has been so reliable, so robotic with everything he's done off the tee. And I look at his putting stats and they're not that bad. I think he's really close to kind of taking a next step. Hard to imagine for a guy that's done all he's done. But I think you see Colin Morikawa next year really get himself in the mix a lot more. And I think it starts this week in Rome.
Greg, obviously we saw that pairing with Dustin Johnson at Whistling Straits, and they tried a few different players there at Quail Hollow, Cameron Young being one of them. Who would you pair Morikawa with in foursomes and four ball?
I think Brooks is an option. I'm not in either format. I think you have an option with, Clark or Harmon, which I know would be very unique. But if the setup is right, Brian Harmon could be a great pairing for him. But I'm not sure if he has a lock pairing. You know, I think you could see him with Koepka first. That'd be my first choice. And if it doesn't go well, which I think it will, then I think you could see him play with one of the other guys that doesn't have a lock pairing like a Clark or a Harmon.
Yeah, I know that Patrick and I are kind of desperate for a Harmon Brooks pairing, which I don't know if, you know, I think that our reasoning for putting guys together is pretty elementary compared to what the actual reasons eventually end up being, you know, in the team room and with the statisticians and all these different things. I just think that we're pretty, or at least I feel fairly uninformed as it relates to those things. But I mean, and so that's prefacing what I'm about to say, which is, you know, Koepka and Morikawa are both missing their partners from last time. Daniel Berger's not there and Dustin Johnson's not there. So it seems like a pretty, to me, that seems like, again, this is dumb and elementary, but it seems like a pretty straightforward, like, okay, just throw those guys together, you know?
Right. Yeah. You don't have Dustin. Well, you know, Brooks and Dustin are the same player. So let's throw, we'll throw Koepka in there.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. Let's see. Where are we here? Third round pick for me. Well, I've got three and four coming up. I'm going to get, I actually think Europe is going to, I don't know who I think is going to, I think it's going to be really close. So I'm, how close the Ryder Cup is going to be is informing my picks. And I'm trying to pick guys that I think are going to play a lot of matches. And so with my third round pick, I'm going Tommy Fleetwood here. He obviously was incredibly successful in Paris before Tony Finau baptized him on Sunday. I think he went 4-1-0 in Paris. And he's playing great golf. You know, this is maybe the best golf he's played since Paris. He was not very good in 2020, really over the last 2020, 2021 and 2022, he was just okay. And now over the last 15 months, he's really stepped it up and has been playing good golf. So I like Fleetwood. I think he's going to probably play quite a bit, especially when you consider, you know, Rose is a little older. Sepp Straka's a rookie. Højgaard's a rookie. McIntyre is kind of a question mark. So I think they're going to ride those top three, four, five guys quite a bit. And I've got three of them. So, and then my fourth round pick, I've got the first pick of the fourth round. I'm going to go, this is hard. I'm going to go with, gosh, I can't believe I'm about to do this. I'm going to go with Brian Harman.
Oh, wow. I thought you were going to go with a different American there.
Mm-mm. Wow. You thought I was going to go JT, and I thought about it, but yeah. I'm going Brian Harman. I'm way in on him. I think there's this scenario. The concern here is I don't know how much he's going to play. Like, he might only play three matches, but he has that like doesn't really care. I mean, cares, but cares the right amount attitude that you need at something like this. And he's played tremendous golf this year. Obviously, I think he's going to be surprisingly really good on the U.S. side.
I think that's a really good pick. Maybe a little early again. You probably could have gotten him later. But I think it's a really good play. Accurate, great, very reliable on the greens. I think a lot of guys would like to play him, and you know he's got the dog in him.
Oh yeah.
Patrick's dog. Okay, oh, great. Yeah.
All right.
You've got three Americans so far. You've got Scottie yep. Scheffler, Xander Schauffele, and Colin Morikawa. Who's gonna be your fourth round pick?
Yeah, I gotta mix in some Euros here. Or at least one. And I'm going to go with Tyrrell Hatton, who I think has a chance to. I love the Fleetwood pick. You know, I was kind of, as I'm looking ahead, like the way you do when you're calling plays, KP, I'm looking ahead thinking, all right, Fleetwood, if it's not Fleetwood, it's Hatton. I think Fleetwood and Hatton might play together, which I think would be a really good pairing and could be a Mollywood kind of situation. We'd have to come up with a different name. But I think he could really perform well. He's been hitting the ball great, played great at the BMW PGA. And I like his game. I think he'll get some usage.
Some usage. I like that word. Gonna have to throw it in. All right. I will round out the fourth round with a guy we've mentioned somewhat, Brooks Koepka.
Okay.
If he's gonna play with Morikawa, sign me up for that pairing. Absolutely. I know the recent form has been somewhat poor since his win at the PGA Championship, but I liked what he had to say this week at LIV Golf Chicago, that all his preparation has been with the Ryder Cup in mind. It seems like he's really taking it seriously. Sports Illustrated asked him about that Golf Digest article from a few years ago, and he goes, "You guys spun it that way." So he's already mad at the media, which I love. You get an angry Brooks, the Brooks who almost broke his wrist at Whistling Straits when he made Sergio spit out his water for a ruling there. If he shows up, if Major Brooks shows up, the U.S. will be in very good shape.
God, the Ryder Cup's so absurd. Like, he was trying to get a relief from a drain.
Yeah, it was a drain out of a bunker.
And Sergio was like mocking him, and Berger was hollering. It was, I love it.
Yeah, that was something else. I forgot about that.
I didn't forget about Brooks's Golf Digest article, and that was not spun the wrong way. He did that to himself. I do love that he's pissed off about it, though. I think that's great. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, hear a word from our partners. We'll come back and finish out the last four rounds of the draft.
Did you know more than 75% of Americans will experience foot pain in their lifetime, but only 10% will seek out a solution for that pain? Spoiler alert, your feet don't have to hurt. And I know foot biomechanics can be complex, but solving foot pain should be simple. It's a signature orthotic shape of the super feet insoles that give you the comfort and support where you need it the most. It redistributes and reduces stress and strain on your entire body. Think about those long walks on a golf course and how uncomfortable your feet can get. Well, they don't have to. And Superfeet has helped millions of people worldwide experience the life-changing magic of comfy, pain-free feet. When your feet feel good, so do you. It is one of the most important parts of your overall health and well-being. And for a limited time, Superfeet is having its biggest sale of the year. Go to superfeet.com to save 25% off site-wide and get free shipping. Hurry, sale pricing ends June 5th. It's a really fine line creating workout clothes that are great in the gym and workout clothes that are also great to look at outside the gym. And Vuori has threaded that needle. They are designed to work out in, but they don't look like it. They don't feel like it. And it's incredibly comfortable stuff, whether you are running, training, swimming, doing yoga, running errands, lounging around the house. It really doesn't matter. These are versatile clothes. You'll find me often in the men's Sunday performance jogger because I like the jogger situation that goes on down at the bottom, but they're very comfortable. They've got a little bit of a shorter inseam, so they're not as bulky as other pants or other joggers that I have seen out there, and I've really enjoyed how they work both in and out of the gym. So now, here's what you can do for our listeners. First-time purchasers are getting 20% off. All you have to do is go to Vuori.com/first. That's Vuori.com/first. Again, not only will you receive 20% off your first order, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75. And here's my favorite part, free returns. Yeah, go check it out. Vuori.com/first and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.
Okay, round five. Patrick, I'm going to read through your picks so far, and then you can kick us off for the second half of the draft. You've got Victor Hovland and then three Americans, Patrick Cantlay, Max Homa, Brooks Koepka. Who are you taking with your fifth pick?
Got to get back on the European train, and after the top four or five, it's kind of murky waters for the Europeans, I think, trying to figure out who's going to play how much and whatnot. So I'm going to go with the hottest hand and the hottest name in the streets, Mr. Ludvig Åberg.
Wow.
I'm going to take him here. I think he has a really good chance. A high usage player, to steal a term from Greg. I think he has a great chance to be one of those and really shine. And if he gets that pairing with Rory McIlroy, to get someone like him in the fifth round is kind of a steal.
Yeah. Now we get into like the stacking. Right. You start to find the guys who are going to play with the stars.
Yeah, I love that. I wanted to take him, but I don't know. Why did I take Brian Harman in the fourth round?
I don't know. That's one you're going to maybe regret later. Is that
the reef of the draft?
Yeah, for sure. But I wanted to take an American and I just panicked. Okay. Greg, your fifth pick. So far, you've got Scheffler, Shoffley, Morikawa, and Tyrrell. Yep.
So I think I got to go back to the U.S. because I'm not sure how much longer he's going to be sitting here on the board. It's going to be my first overall pick. If I'm going to go in, I may as well go all in. I'll go with Sam Burns, superstar, who didn't win a match at the President's Cup. I think he's going to get a lot of usage, and I'm going to stack him up with Scottie Scheffler.
Okay.
Looking back on it, are you guys surprised he was the only player at the President's Cup to play all five?
For sure.
Well, if you look at the wiki page, yes, but he played great. Mm-hmm. And I think the captains, I've heard Fred Couples talk about this on his radio show, and the guys were all like, they knew what happened at Quail Hollow, and they weren't looking at the records the way the corrupt or crooked golf media looks at the records, right? You know, they're a little deeper in there. They know how he played, and he played great.
He did. Yeah, he did. Yeah. that's interesting. I'm actually going to stack as well, but I'm going to stack with two guys that I don't have yet, and I'm going all in. And I'm dying on this hill, Patrick McDonald, Jordan Spieth, and Justin Thomas.
Oh man.
Yeah, JT, it's time.
JT's back. We're dialed in. He might go 5-0. What if he goes 5-0? What's that media tour going to be? What if he goes 5-0 to win the Ryder Cup, Patrick?
I mean, we'll be right. That's what that will mean. I'm sure he'll say that at the press conference. Thank you to Kyle Porter. Patrick McDonald. That's the added boost of confidence I needed. It wasn't the top five finish at the Fortinet Championship, my first since February of 2023. No, it was the Corrupt Golf Media backing me for the Ryder Cup when no one wanted me.
Did you see did you see Brendan Porath's tweet today about did you see the guy that lost his mind trying to fight the other guy in the golf cart?
Oh, he took his shirt off.
Yeah, did you see this, Patrick?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Brendan Porath said that's going to be JT when the first time somebody doesn't give him a putt inside the leather in Rome next week.
I will say the one thing I hope never happens this upcoming week is the situation like number one at Whistling Straits where everyone just got, you know, mad because they weren't giving putts and Bryson like put his like 30-foot putter on the ground and, like inside the hole when he didn't get a putt. You remember that? It's like a
pole vault pole.
He's like looking at Shane Lowry like, what the hell, dude? Are you kidding me right now?
It's like a 12-foot putt.
So you should never expect a putt to be given. If it's so short that it should be given, just knock it in.
You would think, Greg, but these guys, they get a little pissy about it.
Yeah, they get frustrated with it.
Entitled. I love it. I think that I tweeted it the other day, but the video of JT and Spieth not giving that putt at the President's Cup last year.
Oh yeah.
Where Spieth went to ask him and JT was like, no.
Great.
JT's the most like he has the biggest differentiation between gets mad when you won't give him a putt, but also doesn't give any putts. Like disparity there is the widest of anybody in I think in the world, like in all of golf.
And I don't think I'd give JT any putts. Just saying.
No.
That group now.
Gosh, that's gonna be that could be tough to watch. Okay, Greg, Scheffler, Shoffley, Morikawa, Hatton, Burns, who you got for your sixth pick?
I'm gonna go back to the European side here, and I think I gotta take best available. I know a lot of conversation about Rory and Ludwig, but I wouldn't be surprised if Shane Lowry and Rory McIlroy went together, so I'm gonna go with Shane Lowry. I think he's been playing a lot better golf than he's gotten credit for. He is reliable. He's solid. He's going to be a big part of this team.
I love it. I think that Patrick and I have talked about this. The Adrian Meronk versus Shane Lowry conversation was outrageous. Like just absolutely insane. Lowry is a major champion. He's not been great this year, but if you look at his numbers, it's like, I don't know, he's finishing T12 like every other week. Yeah. It's not like he's missing every cut, you know?
Right. And that hurts you on the PGA Tour. You need, you know, it's a good learning moment for when you got to finish inside the top 70 instead of 125. You need those high finishes. You can miss cuts, but you need to call a second place finish. You need a couple of T3s in there. And he didn't have that this year, but it didn't signify the level of his game, in my opinion.
But he's somebody that's a little bit like Koepka for me, Greg, where they're very different as people, obviously, but just kind of a big game hunter. Like he can turn it up in a given week, I think, in a way that not everybody can. And some of that's him and Koepka do it in a different way. Lowry rides more on emotion and Koepka, I don't know what Koepka's deal is, but they definitely both do it. And I think Lowry has a chance to have a really special week.
It'll be interesting to see who he gets paired with. And that's why you know, he goes in the sixth round. But if you knew who he was going to get paired with, I think he'd be chosen a lot earlier. And to the big game hunter thing, he definitely rides on that emotion, but he feels to me like somebody who circles events on his calendar, you know, and puts all of his focus on the Masters, not this past year, the year before. It felt like the Masters was his mission for the entire year, and almost got it done. It hurts him when he doesn't, but it just signifies that he's got certain events. He's got his eyes on certain events and tries to peak for him.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, Patrick, you got two picks here. Your team, Victor Hovland, Patrick Cantlay, Max Homa, Brooks Koepka, and Ludvig Åberg. Who's your seventh pick? Or who's your sixth pick? And then who's your seventh pick?
When Greg said best available on the European side, I thought he was going to take Mr. 05-0, Matt Fitzpatrick. He is my sixth round pick. I understand the Ryder Cup has not been kind to him, but if you look at what has happened after the Ryder Cup, those two, he won the DP World Tour Championship a few weeks later in 2016. He won out Valderrama a couple weeks later in 2021. It's his first Ryder Cup home in Europe. Maybe the home fans, that comfort level gets him over the hump. He's just way too good to be 0-5 in a Ryder Cup, and he's been playing some decent golf. So I'm going to take the Englishman here. And then number seven, to get back on the American train, Greg calls him half and half because all he does is have his matches in the Ryder Cup. It is one Ricky Fowler. I don't really know what to expect from him. Yeah, look at that. 3-7-5. He doesn't have a winning record in any of the three formats.
It's not good.
It could be great. It could be bad. The form towards the end of the season wasn't super encouraging, but he's a really well-rounded player, and I think he's someone who can be paired with a lot of different people. So he gives Zach Johnson a ton of flexibility. And that could, you know, maybe lead to him getting three matches, potentially four if he's playing well. So I'll take Fowler with my seventh.
He seems like the kind of guy on this team that is the, oh, well, I'm going to rest Spieth. So we'll play Thomas and Fowler. If it's Koepka and Morikawa, one of them is going to rest. Fowler fills in with the other. He seems like the fill-in guy. And he's probably the first choice for a fill-in guy. So I think you're right, Patrick. I bet you he gets three matches.
Yeah.
Glue guy. 0-3.
that would be hilarious. Okay, Greg Ducharme, who's your seventh round pick?
Oh, things are getting real tough here.
Yes, they are.
All right. So we're in a situation now. There's one player on the American side that's probably very underrated right now. But I feel like I'm a little heavy on the American side. And I feel like I got a lot of safety on my team. So I'm going to go with the without question, the most unknown player where we could get 0-3, 0-4, 0-5, and 0. And I think we could probably get a 4-0 as well. And that would be Sepp Straka. Because his best is as good as anybody, and his worst, I mean, he'll find him on the bottom of leaderboards some weeks. It's unbelievable. When he's on, he is on. I don't know what I'm going to get. That's why he's my seventh pick. But I'm going to take a little volatility and hope that it plays out for me.
I love the
pick. I do too. That's who I wanted. It's a great seventh round pick. It's the perfect situation. High ceiling, low floor. That's what you want late in a draft. I love that. I was hoping that I would get him at number with my seventh round pick. But I'm gonna go with Wyndham Clark as my seventh round pick, and then on the other. I got to take a European. So my choices are Bobby Mack, Robert McIntyre, Justin Rose. And by the way, I have three of the four major champions this year. I don't know what that does for you guys, but, and then Nicolai Højgaard as the other one. I'm going to, I'm going to go with Bobby Mack. I'm taking him with the eighth round pick. He's objectively the worst player in the Ryder Cup, just statistically. But I think that in match play, in a big moment, I kind of love him. Like, he would kind of be, kind of frustrating to play against, where you got this lefty just kind of poofing it around, and you're like, I don't understand how we're tied after 12 holes.
He does give a little Shane Lowry type, and not just because of the body shapes, but you feel like the passion in the arena could bring out the best in him.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised if Bobby Mack is just thriving this week.
Yeah,
just the opportunity,
living his best life, hitting that three wood he hit on Rory at the Scottish Open this year.
Yeah,
yeah, that was quite a shot.
I'm in, Bobby Mack, eighth round pick. My team's complete. It's Rory, Rahm, Fleetwood, Harmon. The American duo of Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas, you may have heard of them, and then Wyndham Clark and Robert Bobby McIntyre.
Okay. Man, I'm looking at my team thinking it's pretty darn good. I have to have the best team. Hear names like that, that's a pretty good team too. So this is a tough one. Now you come down to Justin Rose and Nikolai. I'm going to go with the veteran. I don't think there's going to be a ton of usage here, but I think it's just the right pick, Justin Rose.
I think it's the right pick as well. I was surprised to see how good he was in foursomes. He's 7-2-1 in his career. So I think you could get three out of him, Greg, which is great this late in the draft.
Yeah, I don't. The thing is, I don't know who he's going to play with. I have no idea where you go with him. And if, you know, they use him as like a father figure and play him with Højgaard, try to get, you know, some rookies get their feet
father
wet.
Figure.
Like, is he going to be, what's his role going to be? Take somebody under your wing, and, or is it going to be, hey, let's use him to go get Matt Fitzpatrick a point. You know, those are very different things.
Yeah, you've got some problems here, Greg, with Justin Rose, but you also have some things going for you, and that would be he is actually 26th in the data golf rankings, just behind Spieth, just ahead of Ludwig. He's ahead of obviously JT, Shane Lowry, Sepp Straka, Brooks, Højgaard, and Bobby Mack. He's played really good golf this year. The problem is he hasn't played very good golf in the last 3 or 4 months.
No. No, it's been very shaky. Now he did put together a great round at the BMW, which kind of makes his resume look a whole lot better than it realistically is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been shaky, but hopefully he can turn the corner, step up the way he always seems to in the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, that was it. That was the other thing, is he's been very good in Ryder Cup. So that's probably who I would take too, which leaves you, Patrick, with the other Højgaard twin.
Yeah, the 2021 Italian Open winner. I can't believe you guys left me the only man. Or actually, I think Bobby McIntyre won on this golf course too.
He did.
So the first man to win on this golf course, Nikolai Højgaard. Long driver, which I don't know how much that's really going to be a factor. I think he's behind. I think he's fifth in driving distance in this field and 10th in approach, actually. So how much he plays could be little, but given the opportunity, he's my last pick. I didn't have a choice, so he's on my team.
Yeah, he's actually been playing pretty good golf recently. You know, he finished T6 at Scottish Open, T23 at the Open, 2 top fives in his last 3 European Tour starts. There's been a ton of talk, obviously, about Ludwig and what he could do, but I don't think it's, I don't know. Would it be crazy if Nikolai went 2-1-1 or 2-0-1 or something like that? I don't think that'd be crazy.
No, Europe probably really wins if he does.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's just opportunity this far down the board.
Right. He is the first guy you think of that's going to go two matches. He seems like the guy that you hide. I'm not sure if that's what they're going to do, but when you look on paper, that's what it looks like.
Yeah, him and Bobby Mack, I'd say, are potentially liable to not playing a ton.
JT. God, I hope he goes 5-0. That would be I would never stop talking about that. Like,
and if you get the duo, we're all in trouble if it goes well, but you never know.
Yeah. Which way are you guys leaning in? I think you guys both said you think America's going to win.
I do. I think it will come down to the performance of either Morikawa or Homa to put them over the top.
I'm not sure if there's one guy, but I look at this team and I'm trying to think, well, who's the best pick that we made today? And it could easily be Kyle. Who'd you get in the seventh round? Wyndham Clark.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he won the U.S. Open this year. He's been playing great golf. When you look at a Brian Harman who went in the fourth round, and Wyndham Clark, those guys they're really good.
Yeah.
And so this team is just so deep, and there's a lot of options in the team room. You have foundational teams that don't have a lot of experience losing over here. And it feels like new blood. It feels like there's a new life in the American Ryder Cup team. And I know they lost a little bit of steam, but I'm not sure they should have.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I might pick a tie. I'll say this. I think this is going to be the best or the closest Ryder Cup we've had since 2012. Like 2010, 2012 were awesome. That was Celtic Manor, right? In 2010.
Was that a Monday finish?
It was a Monday finish. It was all jacked up because of the weather. But then Medina was obviously just incredible in 2012. But since then, it's been, 14 was the Phil presser, was the most exciting thing. 16 was not really close. You got Reed Rory on Sunday. 18 was a bloodbath. And then 21 was an even bigger blood. It was just a blowout. So you haven't really had a ton of drama on Sunday since 2012. And, the fact that you only get this once every 2 years, I would love some drama on Sunday because there's nothing like that in golf when it's close in Sunday singles. And you've got, did you guys see my question on Twitter, by the way? Which two guys do you want the Ryder Cup to come down to? If you got to pick any two, like one from each team?
Yeah. Ooh, it's a hard question because you would hope that's the last group. And if you're in the team room, you don't really want to be put in the anchor spot.
Right.
You feel like it's not going to matter. So I don't know how realistic it is, but I think.
Well, it doesn't have to be realistic. It's just whoever you want to see.
Yeah. I think it'd have to be Rory McIlroy and Scottie Scheffler for me.
Ooh. I think Rory for sure, but I think I would go with Spieth just because it seems like over the last decade, those have been the two guys kind of carrying the load and entering their 30s and their mid 30s. Now it would be almost poetic, but just cool to see.
I think for me, I like both of those picks. I think it's Rory JT.
Yeah.
Like if for some reason Rory JT are tied, Rory's going to go out first on Sunday, so this wouldn't happen. But if it did, if it could, those guys are tied going to like the 10th hole, and it starts to feel like it's going to come down to them for the entire event. I mean, that's like once in a lifetime type stuff. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's just you can't. Do that as a captain.
No, any of no.
Them. I mean, maybe Spieth could go last.
Well, they've had. I mean, remember back in 2012, Tiger was like one of the last guys on the course at Medina.
Yeah,
yeah, that's right.
So well, it can work out in a way where like the matches behind you finish up early.
Yes.
And there's like five holes left and it's like, okay, it's JT and Rory, the eighth match out or whatever. Seventh match out.
The problem is they always send Rory first on the Euro side. So I just don't think he would ever even be the eighth guy.
No.
But if you got like Rom and JT or Victor and Spieth or Rom and Koepka Masters rematch, that would be pretty titanic.
Yeah, that would be a really good one. I mean, it's not as romantic as any of the Rory matches, but it's probably. I mean, that could be the best watch.
Yeah. You also might get Bobby Mack and Wyndham Clark. Who knows?
Two guys just slinging fades out there.
Slinging fades.
Ludwig and Brooks would be pretty good. Ludwig and... Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be... Ugh, I can't wait. I'm heading over on Monday. We're going to have a bunch of pods next week. I think five total, Producer Josh. I think we have five pods starting on... I believe Tuesday. I don't think we're doing one on Monday. I think Tuesday is our first one.
Monday, Tuesday, round recap.
Monday and Tuesday, and then Friday through Sunday. So I thought it was Tuesday, Wednesday, but I probably won't be on those Monday, Tuesday because I'll be traveling, but we'll definitely be checking in from Rome for Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I'll be on with Rick in person, on site. Should be fun.
In Rome. When in Rome?
Yeah. I don't know what we're going to do, but... whatever we do, we will say when in Rome.
You mean to tell me this place wasn't built in a day?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just all the dad jokes. Rick's not even a dad, and he'll be making them. Okay, great stuff. Patrick McDonald at Amateur Status on Twitter. Do you say amateur or amateur?
That's actually the running joke behind the name is I say amateur, and my friends gave me crap for it back in the day. And so this was my Twitter handle.
I love it.
Oh, they're like, you're so pretentious.
I said the U.S. amateur the other day to some non-golf couple friends that we have, and they were like, why do you say it like that? Why do you say that word like that? And I was like,
I was born.
I didn't even know that that's what I did. I just do it. Yep. So at amateur status on
amateur
Twitter, Greg.
Correct, I think.
Yeah. Greg's right. At the real GFD. Thank you. I'm Kyle Porter at Kyle Porter CBS. Great stuff today, guys, and we will talk next week.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.